Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
I am far more concerned than what's happening at the editorial page by what's happening in news pages.
Molly Hemingway speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
In news pages, that old idea that we had for a few decades of aiming toward objectivity has just been completely thrown out the window.
And this is a generalization, but I think it bears out. And again, I mean, even 5-10 years ago, it would have sounded crazy that I'd be saying this, but I mean, I think it is the case. You have to view the explicit goal of most of the major journalistic institutions in this country as electing Democrats. And when they aren't electing Democrats, they're trying to push the Democratic Party further left.
You can watch and listen to a recording of journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway's Q&A from our 2020 Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $250. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
You want to talk about women's issues? That's fantastic. Let's talk about health care. There are states that have passed laws that will virtually prevent women from having access to reproductive health care.
There are women who will die, and in particular, poor women and women of color. Access to affordable health care should not be a privilege, it should be a right.
This is also about the law. It's about a woman making a decision and having agency over her own body,
including a safe and legal abortion, protected as a fundamental and constitutional right.
It is her body, it is her right, it is her decision.
That's a Planned Parenthood Action digital ad featuring Democratic vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris. Now, while they are trying to portray Kamala Harris as, what was it, a pragmatic moderate, in fact, the support that organizations like Planned Parenthood and NARAL, Pro-Choice America, are showing for her candidacy is indicative that, on abortion at least, she doesn't seem to be a moderate. She also has a track record because she ran for president and she had a position statement on abortion. It might shock you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about Kamala Harris's Reproductive Rights Act. Carol Tobias joins us. She's president of National Right to Life. Carol, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be on.
Is Kamala Harris a moderate on abortion?
Kamala Harris is the farthest thing from moderate that you will find when it comes to the issue of protecting unborn children. She has and wants absolutely no limits on abortion whatsoever for the entire 9 months of pregnancy. There is just nothing moderate about her.
When she was running for president, she had something of a kind of a position paper on what she calls reproductive rights, called Reproductive Rights Act. What does that position entail?
Kamala Harris had a plan during her presidential campaign that would have put the Department of Justice in charge of pre-clearing any legislation to protect unborn children that would have come from states or local governments, local jurisdictions. If a state wanted to pass a law that would say you cannot discriminate against a healthcare worker who doesn't want to participate in abortions, if a state would want to pass a law that would say we're going to protect babies who have developed to the point where they can feel pain and say abortion is not allowed after that point, if you have a law that would say we're going to make sure that the abortionists provide information to women before they get the procedure, Kamala Harris's position would have been those states would have had to go to the Department of Justice to get their permission before they could pass the legislation. She was going to use the Department of Justice as a clearinghouse for any pro-life legislation that would be introduced. And if it did not fit with Roe v. Wade or legislation that is currently in Congress that she has co-sponsored, the Women's Health Protection Act, the Department of Justice would have to object to that legislation. even if the Department of Justice did decide to let some piece of pro-life legislation go through and be acted on within a state, then abortionists could then challenge the law, and they would have the right to go back to DOJ and tell them why they shouldn't allow this law to be enacted. It was a dictatorial position, and I have no doubt that if she becomes vice president and, you know, we don't know, maybe president, she would do everything she could to make sure that came to pass.
There are a couple issues in there, some of them kind of thorny legal issues, because I think the U.S. Supreme Court has yet to decide whether abortionists have any kind of standing when it comes to abortion law. They're saying, like, these affect women, not abortionists. So women have standing, but the abortionist doesn't.
Under Kamala Harris's Department of Justice, the abortionists would have standing. Now, again, whether or not the courts would allow this to stand, you know, we certainly would hope not, but she was going to certainly try. The 10th Amendment to the Constitution is supposed to protect and give rights to the states that are not specifically granted to the federal government. So she's trampling on the states' rights amendment. But I think abortion and the right to kill unborn children is so important, so critical to Kamala Harris that she would try to push it any way she can, and she would have no regard for what the Constitution says. She would push this in any way she can.
In addition to this, talk about her active role in, I'm just going to call it, persecuting David DeLeiden, who had a series of undercover videos released several years ago showing that Planned Parenthood was actively trafficking and profiting from the sale of the parts of babies who had been aborted at their facilities.
California has had journalists over the years that have gone undercover to expose something that, you know, they thought was wrong, whether it was in government or in a corporation, something that they considered unethical. I think there was a famous one where they went into a place that was not taking care of animals the way they should have. In this case, though, and that's been common in California, and it usually is for most journalists, they can go undercover if it's going to help them get a story. David DeLeiden went undercover, and Kamala Harris did persecute him. She prosecuted him, but she also persecuted him, you know, saying that he broke laws when he didn't. She coordinated everything that she did, her office did, with Planned Parenthood so that they were helping her to, you know, make the case against David. She singled him out when he was doing only what a lot of other people in the state had done. But it was because he was exposing the abortion industry that she specifically targeted him.
So had he been going into meat processing plants, or had he been going into some other kind of agricultural facility and exposing some wrongdoing there,
he would have been a hero. Instead, she went to court and got huge fines against him. And of course, he's still fighting this. And hopefully the courts, you know, higher courts will look at the entire circumstance and not be swayed by local abortion facilities or by someone like Kamala Harris. So, you know, this isn't over yet. It's still going to be a long, protracted battle. But she definitely singled out David DeLeiden, because he was exposing the abortion industry.
What does it tell you that Planned Parenthood Votes has launched this new video rather unembarrassedly proclaiming Kamala Harris to be a reproductive health champion?
I think they truly believe that most of America is on their side. Now, they don't understand that even someone who might say, well, I'm pro-choice, I think that abortion should be allowed in some circumstances, that doesn't mean they want to see abortion for all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason the mother would decide, you know, she doesn't want this child anymore. It doesn't mean that they want taxpayers to pay for the abortion. It doesn't mean that healthcare providers should be forced to perform or participate in the abortion. I think Planned Parenthood is reading the country incorrectly, and I certainly hope it backfires, that even people who, like I said, think that abortion might be allowed in some cases are going to shake their head and say, I can't go with that. I can't accept that. That's just too far. That's crazy.
What has Senator Harris promised to do when it comes to federal funding for Planned Parenthood?
Oh, Kamala Harris wants to make sure that Planned Parenthood gets the $60 million that they forego in the Title X program when Donald Trump split off and said, if you're located in the same place as an abortion facility, you can't use Title X funds to promote family planning. If you want to refer for abortion, you can't get Title X family planning funds. She would reverse all of that. So Planned Parenthood could get Title X funds. Not only would they be able to get Medicaid funds for other services, she wants them to get Medicaid funds for performing abortions. She wants international Planned Parenthood to get foreign aid so that they can go into other countries to perform abortions or to work against pro-life legislation or pro-life laws in those countries. Kamala Harris is fully in the pocket of Planned Parenthood, and she will do everything she can to get, you know, to help them, support them, promote them, and give them as much of our tax funding as possible.
Would she actively fight the Hyde Amendment?
Oh, yes, yes. Kamala Harris is very vocal. She opposes the Hyde Amendment, and it is the Hyde Amendment that has saved probably 2 million unborn babies over the past 40 years. It's been in effect since the 1970s. Medicaid cannot pay for abortions on Medicaid patients. She wants to overturn that so that our tax dollars are killing children of poor women. Now, to me, that's not helping women. That is telling them that the only way they're going to, you know, make any changes in their life is to kill their children. And I think that's just a horrible message to be sending to any mother.
Finally, when we hear Senator Harris talk about what she says is a fundamental health care right, and she's speaking about abortion, what should we know that she means by that?
If she says that their reproductive rights are fundamental health care rights, that means that every insurance policy issued in this country for medical care or health care should be covering and paying for abortion. And if the federal government, through some, you know, like Obamacare is still in existence in many places, that through that program, all those healthcare agencies should be getting federal subsidies to help people pay for the insurance policy. She wants any healthcare institution in this country to be providing abortion and making it readily available for any woman who wants one through all 9 months of pregnancy.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. Learn more about National Right to Life on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Carol, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We are going to be getting a Lutheran perspective on the pandemic, part two of a conversation that we began with Dr. John Pless earlier this week. When we come back, Dr. Jacob Corzine, co-author of the book Faith in the Shadow of a Pandemic, will be our guest. We'll talk about how we look at things like mask requirements and social distancing as Christians. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.